seriously?
We just draw on and put this up here.
Hare Krishna.
Humbly request anyone with a mobile phone, if you have a mobile phone, please turn it off or put it on vibrate. If you get a call on vibrate, please take it outside the temple room. And the second thing, I humbly request, if any of the children start their own kata some part of the temple room, because that often happens, you know, the kids like to follow in the footsteps of devotees. So if the children start their own Bhagavatam or Gita Kata in some section of the temple, we humbly request that you take them outside for a short period of time and then let them come in again to hear the Kata here in Sri Sri Radha Govinda Mandir. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna.
His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj ki
Thank you.
Two very small little rooms in Ramana.
He had no money. He had no supporters. He was just another one of thousands and thousands and thousands of mendicants who had forsaken home and everything to live in the holy land of Vrindavan. Or at least that's the way it appeared. The mission of his Gurudev, Śrīla Bhakti Siddhānta Saraswati Thakur, burned in his heart to take the message of Lord Chaitanya, of pure love of God, throughout the entire world and teach it in the English language, the philosophy and the practice. It was in Vrindavan that he prepared. In 1965, he left with nothing and nobody. He went to Bombay, and in Bombay, a lady that he had previously met in Kurukshetra, Sumati Moraji, he begged her, "You are owning a fleet of cargo ships. Give me free passage to New York." Interesting. Śrīla Prabhupāda told his devotees that of all places in the world, it was his conviction and his determination to plant the seed of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement in New York City. I congratulate all the inhabitants. There, she said, "You are too old, and New York is too cold. You will die, Swamiji." But he was determined. He had never been there. He didn't know anyone. He was told by a lady who had been there, who had practical experience, that it was an impossible mission and he would die. And even many of his own godbrothers, he asked them for help and they said, "It's not possible. We cannot help." He sat on the steps of her office and said, "I will not leave here. I will not even eat until you give me a ticket." He sent that message to her secretary. So Jaladutta, he left from Calcutta with 40 rupees. But he had a dream. He had a heart that was rich with compassion. Real wealth is not in money or property or fame or prestige. Real wealth is our love for God and our compassion to all living beings. And Prabhupada was fabulously wealthy. Unlimited wealth. He had Krishna, the husband of the goddess of fortune, dwelling in his heart. And after suffering two heart attacks, seasickness, poverty, persecution, and so many other things, he established a movement in 1965 in New York City. 1966 in New York City. In 1971, December, Śrīla Prabhupāda returned to Vrindavan with 40 disciples from America, Europe, South America, Africa, Japan, and even India. And the whole town of Vrindavan practically came to greet him. The mayor and the dignitaries celebrated. Here he was, a man who left here with nothing, who is now a world teacher. And he was given some land. The devotees were thinking, why land there? It's so far away. Because in those days, Ramanreti was long away from Vrindavan. There's a saying that when you're looking for a property to serve a purpose, the three most important considerations are location, location, and location. It's not a good location. And similarly, Juhu, Bombay, it was a swamp so far from the city. And Prabhupada said, this is what we want. And I believe it was 1974, at Ram Navami, one of the most beautiful temples ever built in Vrindavan. A temple that would be the most popular of the 5,000 temples of Vrindavan. Millions of people coming every year. It was personally inaugurated by Srila Prabhupada as he offered the arti to Krishna Balaram, welcoming him and inviting the whole world to come to receive their mercy. Ram Navami is a very historical day for all of us. It is the day of victory. Just as Ram appeared in this world to conquer Ravana, Srila Prabhupada established Krishna Balaram Temple and temples all over the world, and established his books, which by the hundreds of millions, to conquer the Maya of illusion. With your permission, I will say something about Ram Navami. In Manhattan, at a yoga studio, I spoke on that holy day, and we came to the place in Valmiki Ramayan where Hanuman had just leapt across the ocean, found Sita, delivered Ram's ring to Sita, pacified her heart, and then did some extra service by ripping apart Ravana's favorite garden, getting tied up with ropes by Indrajit, and dragged right in front of Ravana, which is exactly what Hanuman wanted. Because actually Hanuman was all merciful. Even though he personally saw Ravana insulting and harassing, threatening Sita, that if she does not give in to him, he would chop her to pieces, drink her blood, and eat her flesh for breakfast. Hanuman understood that this is Ram's business to do away with Ravana. Can you imagine how his heart was stirring? And he stood before Ravana to give him another chance. Just give Sita back to Ram. Become an ally of Ram. Your life will be perfect. But if you do not, he will destroy you. He will destroy your entire dynasty. When Ravana heard this, he flew into anger. He didn't understand. Hanuman's only purpose was to show compassion to this demoniac person, to give him another chance. But instead of taking good advice from a person who really cared, he screamed at Hanuman, blasted him. Hanuman said, oh, you can say what you like. He said, kill this monkey. Then Vibhisha, Ravana's younger brother, who was a great devotee of the Lord, You know the story of the benedictions that the three brothers received? They went into the wilderness, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, and Vibhishan, as well as Suparnakha, the sister. And they did severe tapasya for a long, long time for Lord Brahma to give them benedictions. Brahma came. Ravana asked for all sorts of benedictions. He wanted all the eight mystic cities so that he could use for his own selfish purposes. He wanted the power to conquer all the three worlds, and that he could not be defeated or killed by any demigod, Kinara, Gandharva, Rakshasa, Dayata, all the supernatural beings. But he believed it was below his integrity to ask for the benediction to not be killed by a human. You see, we're so proud of being humans. Because we just compare ourselves to other humans. But the vast majority of the population of the universe, they look at us like just such ignorant weaklings. Yes? The ants, they are fighting with each other, and they're eating smaller insects, and they think, oh, I am very great. And the big ants are really getting good prestige. But for a human, we just step on them if we're not nonviolent. They're insignificant to us. So we have to understand, Rakshasas have the power, the longevity of demigods. They're just against God. It's a powerful race. So Ravana got all his benedictions, so be it. And then Kumbhakarna, he was huge. Raise your hand if you know something about Kumbhakarna. He was so big, and he was so ferocious, and he was so hungry. He would just eat everything and anything at all times. He had no discrimination. Whether it was an elephant or a buffalo or a demigod or a human or anything, just And Brahma said, what benediction do you want? And the devatas approached Brahma and said, even without any benediction, just by his feet he's trampling society. What to speak of his mouth? He's already so powerful and so dangerous. If you give him benedictions, it's going to be impossible. So Brahma became thoughtful. And he sent Saraswati Devi to just jump right on Kumbhakarna's tongue. And when he was about to ask for all these benedictions that would make him invincible, Saraswati moved his tongue to say, I want to sleep. And as soon as he said that, Brahma cut right in and said, so be it. That was the end. Kumbhakarna, what did I just do? After all these thousands of years of tapasya, I asked to go to sleep. So then he just fell asleep. And every 6 months, I think for one day, he was awake. And then Brahma again came to Vibhishan. And Vibhishan, with folded palms and a very humble heart, I only want to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the devotees of Lord Vishnu. Let me forever live on the path of virtue and piety. And let no situation, impediment, or temptation ever in this world ever divert my attention, my actions, or words from pure devotion to the Lord for the welfare of all. That was the vision. So, where was I in the story?
Hanuman.
Yes, Hanumanji. Hanuman was in front of Ravana, and Ravana said, kill this monkey. Vibhishan cut in. He said, according to the laws of valor, a king cannot kill a messenger as long as he's just repeating the message of the enemy. You can punish him, you cannot kill him. So Ravana, who wanted to look like he was very much following the codes in front of his associates, he said, monkeys are very attached to their tails. Light it on fire, and then drag them to the streets of Lanka. So they lit his tail. Maybe just then, they took huge quantities of cloth and wrapped it around his tail and tied it in tight knots, and then dipped it in barrels and barrels of oil and lit it on fire. And then they brought Hanuman out to the streets, and Hanumanji, he reduced his size to be very small. And then he just jumped up and came out of the ropes and then grew big again. This is a good lesson. When you're really in a grip in this world, and the flames of material existence are really burning, like Hanuman, we have to take a humble position. We take a humble position, but humility does not mean cowardly. Hanuman took a humble position, but he was brave and bold at the same time. But he was fully conscious that it is all the power of God, Lord Ram, behind me. So he jumped up with his tail still blazing and went to the rooftop of one palace and touched his tail to it. And the whole palace blazed. And like a monkey, he jumped to the next, and the next, and the next, and the next, until a major portion of the whole Lanka was blazing in fire. And then Hanumanji, he was thinking, why my tail feels so cool? This fire is hot. And then he realized that Sita was praying to Agnidev, and please make your fire very cool so that Hanuman feels no inconvenience at all. And then he roared out that, Ravana, I am just the insignificant menial servant of Ram, and you see what I have done to Sri Lanka? Give up Sita, or I'll be back with an army of millions and millions and millions of more monkeys, more strong than me, with Ram and Lakshman, who we get all of our strength for. And then he jumped in the ocean, put his tail out, and then jumped back to the shore, Rameshwar. Then along with his friends, Hanuman returned to Kishkindha Kshetra on a mountain where there is a cave called Malyavanta, where Lord Ram was staying in separation from Sita. And there, Hanuman gave Ram Sita's message, the jewel that she presented to Ram through Hanuman, told him everything he had done. And Ram began to cry. He said, what a devotee you are. I have no power to repay you. In my lifetime, I have no power to repay you. All I have to give is my embrace. And Lord Ramchandra offered Hanumanji his heart, his love, and his life through his embrace. And as Ramchandra embraced Hanumanji and cried,
tears on his devotee. Hanuman wept. He achieved the ultimate perfection of his life. He wanted nothing else. For a devotee, there is no greater treasure than for the Lord to be pleased with our service. So, we left off there on Friday. Now, with the little time that is available, I will proceed with your permission. So Hanumanji told Ram everything about the size of Lanka and the nature of the city, because he was just roaming about all over the place, examining. Then they organized all of their forces and went to a place which is now called near Rameshwaram, at the sea. Meanwhile, while they were assembled, Ravana, he knew that war was imminent. So he called his main ministers and generals into his assembly hall. And he asked them, "What do you think? It appears there is going to be a great war." And Prahasta stood up and he said, "Why are you even talking about war? I myself single-handedly can destroy the entire army. I want to speak of those two human brothers, Ram and Lakshmi." He said the only reason Hanuman was able to do that is he struck us by surprise. We didn't know he was coming. If I knew he was coming, with one blow I would have destroyed that monkey. Just bring them on, bring them on. And then one after another, they were each one saying, "I myself can kill them all. Have no fear of it. What to speak of you? There is no one who can stand before you in battle." Ravana was very happy to hear all these things. But then Vibhishan, he stood up when everyone else was quiet. When everyone said what they wanted to say, he stood up. And he said, "My brother, what I'm about to tell you, you're not going to like to hear. Ram is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's the all-powerful Lord of all lords. You see what one of his devotees has done, a monkey devotee, Hanumanji. When he comes here, he's going to devastate you. Give back Sita. Save your life, save your family, save your city." When Vibhishan said this, Indrajit, the eldest brother of Ravana, could not tolerate hearing this from his uncle. He jumped up. He said, "You are speaking the words of a man about to die. You're simply a coward. Don't you know the power of my father? Don't you know the power of his armies?" Vibhishan became very strong. He said, "Indrajit, sit down, you ignorant, foolish, evil child. You have no knowledge, you have no maturity, you have nothing. You are not the son of my brother, you are his worst enemy. Giving him wrong direction, which is going to destroy everything, my whole family. Sit down and keep your mouth shut." Vibhishan was bold. Meanwhile, Ravana, he said, "I have heard what everyone has to say. I will consider, and we'll have another meeting in the morning." Ravana then went to his personal chamber. next morning, just at dawn, Vibhishan went to Ravana's room, where he was being woken up by Brahmin Rakshasas, who were chanting Vedic hymns to purify the atmosphere. And when he came in, Ravana had a beautiful crystal bed made of gold and rubies, diamonds and emeralds and sapphires and rubies. And he had a golden seat that he offered Vibhishan. Vibhishan again told him that, "I'm your well-wisher, I'm your brother. I want to save your life, the life of your children. I want to save your wives from being widows. I want to save this great, great kingdom of Sri Lanka, the most beautiful, opulent place in the world. Be satisfied with what you have. You have stolen another man's wife. Give Sita back." Ravana said, "I love Sita, and I will not give her back for anything. Today, I am going to arrange full-fledged war." Then he had Prahashta, one of his generals, call all the senior men of his army. They all rushed to the assembly hall. And Ravana told, "Prepare for war. They will soon be coming." Again, Vibhishan, at this point, he knew that Ravana was not going to listen. But still, he had to try. This was his compassion. He wanted to give Ravana every possible chance. Such a Vaishnava. Even the most demoniac person tried to give him every possible chance to rectify themselves. And when Vibhishan spoke again, Ravana became so angry. He said, "If you were not my brother, I would kill you on this very day. I reject you. You are simply a coward. And in the name of a relative, you have taken the side of the enemy. There is nothing more dangerous than a man like you, who appears to be a friend, who talks like a well-wisher, but simply wants to destroy you." He insulted Vibhishan with such nasty words. That was it. Vibhishan elevated himself into the sky, because he had all the powers of a Rakshasa. All Rakshasas have yogic powers. And with his four chief ministers and friends who were loyal to him, he said to Ravana, "I have spoken the truth to you, but you are not willing to hear. Everything will be finished. Now, I will leave. I bid you farewell." Still awake? Vibhishan, in a matter of minutes, he and his four followers just traveled through the air across the ocean. And there, it was like another ocean of monkeys. There were just millions and millions of Ram's army just assembled along the shore of the ocean. It was miles and miles and miles. And they saw this very large Rakshasa in the sky, and all the monkeys were looking at him. "What is that?" And Sugriva, Hanuman's superior, the leader of the Vanaras, the monkey army, He said to Hanuman, let's pick up stones, let's pick up our, let's uproot trees and let's kill that Rakshasa. Who are you? And Vibhishan said, I want to speak to the leader of the monkeys. He said, my name is Vibhishan. I am the younger brother of Ravana. I have warned him that he will be destroyed unless he returns Sita to Ram. But he has threatened me, and he has assaulted me with cruel words. I have rejected him. I have given up my home, my kingdom, my wealth, my everything to take shelter of Ram. Please give him this message. Sugriva went and gave the message to Rama. Now Lord Rama, he's teaching by his example. Vedaham samatitani bharatamana ni chajana babeshani chajitani mamta vedana kashti. Krishna says in Gita, I know everything that's happened in the past, all that's happening in the present, all things that are yet to come, I know every living being. Rakshasa, Vibhishan, we should tie him up, beat him, and kill him. We can't trust him. And then Ram asked for other opinions. And everyone gave the same opinion. He's a Rakshasa. He must be killed. He must be punished. There is no other possibility. And after everybody else spoke, Ram turned to Hanuman, who was quiet, and said, Hanuman, I trust your word. What should we do? And Hanuman said, we should accept him as our own brother. We should love him and give him all affection and consider himself one of us. Said, I have carefully looked at his countenance, his expressions, I heard the tone of his words, and I am convinced he is completely honest. He has come as your devotee. When Hanuman said that, Ram said, bring Vibhishan here. Anyone who comes to take shelter of me, I must give them shelter, whoever they are. When Ram said that, Sugriva really became angry. Now Ram is God. Devotees sometimes get angry at God. But in a mood of service, Sugriva said, what are you saying? What are you saying? He is Ravana's brother. Even if he is serious right now that he has come to take shelter of you, blood is thick. Still, Ravana is his brother. Ravana's children are his nephews. When things get rough in the battle, it is for sure that his natural Rakshasa propensities, his natural inclinations, his attachments are going to preside. And then having him in our ranks is going to be extremely dangerous. I say right now, Lord Ram, we should capture him and we must kill him. Sometimes amongst devotees, there's disagreements on how to serve. Sometimes we think in Krishna consciousness, everybody just has to agree on everything because we're all one. We are all one in our spirit to please Guru and Krishna and Vaishnavas and to help other living beings. But sometimes according to our nature, we have different inclinations and different opinions. Have any of you ever experienced that? Now here is Sugriva. Sugriva is the king of the whole Vanara race. Ram searched out for Sugriva to make allies with him to find Sita. Hanuman became a priest of a yajna, wherein Sugriva sat holding Ram's hand and they both vowed before the sacred fire to always remain faithful to each other as allies in all circumstances. And Sugriva, from his heart of hearts, was only speaking in a spirit of service for the welfare of Ram's armies. And Hanuman, he had the same pure heart, but he had a completely different opinion. So here we have Hanuman saying, let's accept him. He's good. And Sugriva is saying, let's kill him. He's bad. Now please listen carefully. What I'm about to speak, we also find in the pages of Sri Chaitanya. Lord Ramchandra looked at Sugriva and all the other Vanaras, and he spoke the truth. The truth that gives endless hope to all living beings forevermore. Would you like to hear? Ram's words. If any person comes to me and says, I am yours, even once, then I will protect that person from all dangers forevermore. I solemnly take this vow today in the presence of all of you that even if Ravana himself personally comes to take shelter of me, I will give him full shelter. Bring Vibhishan now. He is my devotee. Sri Ramchandra Bhagavan ki. When Sugriva heard this, torrents of tears poured from his eyes. He fell at Ram's feet, rolled in the dust, and said, my Lord, you are all merciful. The power of your forgiveness, the power of your love is unlimited. I am such a fool. I have doubted the integrity of a person who you love and you trust. Then Vibhishan came down and he fell at Lord Ram's lotus feet and clasped them with his hands. And he said, my Lord, I have given up everything. My beautiful palaces, all of my wealth, all of my prestige within the Rakshasa dynasty. I've given up even the physical association of my beloved family, everything, only to take shelter of yours. I am your property. How can I serve you? And Ram picked him up and embraced him. He spoke so affectionately toward Vibhishan. And then he asked Lakshmi to bring some water from the sea. And Lord Rama personally, with that seawater, he coronated Vibhishan as the king of Lanka. He said, I will go, and I promise you this. I will annihilate the entire Rakshasa race, and you will be the king, and rule that race with piety. He was going to annihilate the armies. Then Hanuman asked Vibhishan, how are we going to cross the ocean? Vibhishan said, I think that Ram should have a personal talk with the presiding deity of the ocean. So Ram, from this point on, we find in Valmiki's Ramayana how Ram was constantly turning to Vibhishan for advice and for guidance throughout the battle. Ram had complete faith in Vibhishan. Such a transformation. So Ram sat at the ocean. Meanwhile, just to show the qualities of Lord Ram, Ravana sent a Rakshasa spy named Shuka to take the form of a bird. And Ravana said, go secretly to where Sugriva is and tell him that, Sugriva, I'm Ravana. I'm the most powerful king on earth. Not only that, in the whole universe, I've defeated Indra. I'm unconquerable. I like you, Sugriva. I've never done anything against you. Just take all your monkeys and leave. And I'll reward you tremendously. Otherwise, you're going to die. When Sugriva heard that, he leaped up, grabbed that bird, threw him to the ground, and then all a whole gang of monkeys started beating him up. And he was getting kicked and punched and whatever else monkeys do. And Sukha just started screaming out, Ram, Ram, save me. He didn't call for Ravana, he called for Ram. And then Ram said, oh, he is calling for me, bring him here. And they told him everything, Sugriva. And Ram said, oh, Sukha, you want to spy for Ravana? You want to see all my armies and everything? So he said, Vibhishan, show him everything. Show him everything, and if he has any questions, answer all his questions, and then send him back to Ravana to get all the information. And meanwhile, Sugriva gave him a message. He said, I am the faithful servant of Ravana, and I will never betray him. But you are my enemy, because you are the enemy of God. So Sukha went back and gave that message. He said, Ravana, the power of Ram's forgiveness, the power of Ram's might, the power of Ram's armies, you have no chance. Give back Sita. He still couldn't listen. Meanwhile, Ram was sitting on the shore of the ocean for 3 days, and nothing happened. So Ram became transcendentally angry. He said, oh, presiding deity of the ocean, I have been very humble and very patient and very politely. I have been meditating here, asking you to come before me to speak, and you're so proud that you haven't come? Courtesy, politeness, humility are seen as weaknesses by proud people. But today I will teach you a good lesson. And Ram pulled back his bow and arrow, and his eyes became, Prabhupada says, red like hot. coals. And he shot an arrow and it went into the ocean, and the whole ocean started boiling over. And all the aquatics were screaming. And finally, the presiding deity of the ocean came out. And he said, "Ron, please forgive me. I didn't mean to disrespect you, but I will tell you how you can cross the ocean. The son of Vishwakarma, named Nala, is one of the monkey soldiers. He's a tremendous architect. Assign him the service of building a bridge across, and I will help. Whatever he puts will float." So Ram told Nala to build a bridge, and Nala was very happy. He was ecstatic and all. And then Nala started telling all the monkeys, "Bring mountains, bring rocks, bring big trees, let's build a bridge. Today you have construction companies. Here in New York, you know how much trouble and problem it is just for a little place, one little road, temporary inconvenience, all those signs and traffic jams." They all started celebrating, jumping up, "Service to Ram." And soon they were all coming back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, just throwing mountains, and they were taking large creepers and tying it all together. Hanumanji was bringing entire tops of mountains, miles long and wide, and just putting it down. And he said that they put the name of Ram on each rock to make it float. Because in this material world, which is an ocean of material sufferings, it is only the name of Ram, the name of God, that keeps us from sinking and drowning. And there is that famous story where Hanumanji was carrying this big, big boulder. And there was a little, some say spider, some say squirrel. Which do you think it is?
Spider.
Can you raise your hand if you believe it was a spider? Squirrel. Since the majority, I'll say squirrel. So the little squirrel. And he was an actual, ordinary-sized squirrel, not like a, you know, monkey soldier squirrel. And he was just kicking some little pebbles onto the bridge. And he was right in front of Hanuman's lotus feet. He was carrying this big boulder. He said, "Move aside. I have my work for Sri Ram." And Hanuman was chastised by Lord Ram. He said, "Why are you telling him to move aside? Do you not see that he is doing every bit as much of service as you?" Because the Supreme Lord is Bhava Grahi. Srila Prabhupada writes, "Krishna does not see what you offer, he sees the purpose, the intent in which you offer it." This little squirrel is doing everything within his power in a spirit of pure devotion to serve me. And you, Hanuman, are doing everything within your power to serve me in pure devotion. In my heart, I see you are perfectly equal. A great lesson to the world. The bridge was built in 5 days. It was 80 miles wide and 800 miles long. And all among the soldiers, led by Ram and Lakshman, crossed over the ocean to Sri Lanka. And now we have to end the class. Prabhupada, I'm just going to speak for 2 minutes again. We were speaking about Hanumanji. How Hanuman. cross the ocean to bring the message of Ram to Sita. To bring Sita, to ultimately help Ram in his mission of bringing Sita back to him. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, he crossed two oceans to deliver the Lord, the message of Ram to the world. To burn down the illusions of this world in the mood of Hanumanji. And to help us reunite Sita and Ram, our natural loving propensities for God. To deliver all of us from the ravana of illusion and ignorance. And free our natural devotion represented by Sita. So that we can go back home, back to God and be happy. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.
I'd like to thank His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj for coming to Sri Sri Radha Govinda Mandir. Before we break for prasad, Jaggi, where's the book? We brought some books that His Holiness Radhanath Swami recently wrote. It's just been published. And I advise everyone as far as possible in the coming days, weeks, and months to purchase this book. It's very, very wonderful. I got a good report that it was fantastic writing and very interesting, of course. Some of these books, you can't put them down. They're so interesting when it's about a devotee. It becomes very, very interesting because then all the good qualities of that devotee and the transcendental sojourn of that devotee is very, very attractive and relishable. Crack one open. I'll just hold it up for a second. Who published it, Narayan? Was it Mandalam? Mandalam Media. They produce very first-class productions of literatures. It's titled The Journey Home, an autobiography of an American Swami by His Holiness Radhanath Swami. Very, very beautiful book. $20, that's pretty cheap. That's pretty inexpensive for the nectar that you'll experience reading this wonderful autobiography of His Holiness Radhanath Swami. So please, if you'd like to get them tonight, you can get them here at Sri Sri Radha Govinda Mandir this evening. There's a few more than this. And then after that, we'll have to get a stock here for Gauranga Prema Prabhu. I know he'll want to sell many, many copies of this wonderful book. So next, we encourage as many devotees as possible to please go take Anna Prasad so we can begin the serve out of Prasad. Next RT is at 8:30, so please come to the RT if you can. So please do that, everyone, as far as possible. You can go and take Prasad, and we'll have a kirtan from 8:30 until 10:30 or so. Plenty of time for kirtan. Now it's time for prasad. One is Rashad and Ekadashi. Shri Shivada Govinda Dev Kijan. Good time, go work.